We talked about faith, understanding it. What is faith? We know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, look at it, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the Bible definition of faith. We talked about last week how faith and hope go together. Faith and hope go together. We also talked about how the object of our hope is the object of our faith. Faith is very important in the life of a Christian. We talked about how faith believes that all things, good or bad, always work together for good to them that love God. Faith does that. We mentioned also how faith gives, it goes beyond reason. It goes beyond reason sometimes. Believes without understanding sometimes. We believe that Jesus is coming again, don't we? We don't understand how, but we believe he is. We believe that Jesus forgives and washes our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ when we trust him as our Savior. We don't understand that fully, but we still believe it. That's faith. That's faith. So faith goes beyond reasoning sometimes. And we talked about that also. How even in prison, Paul and Silas, they sang because they had faith in God that God was going to deliver them, and he did. He did. We also talked about how faith chooses to suffer sometimes. Chooses to suffer because we believe so much in God and how God is our God. He's our Savior. And we trust to suffer sometimes because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith is very important in the life of us as God's children. We also talked about where faith comes from. Faith is a supernatural gift. It comes from God. God imparts this faith to us through the hearing of the Word of God that is presented through the anointing of the Spirit of God by a vessel of God. Therefore, we learn to have faith. We have faith because we hear the Word of God. I said last week that no one will get saved apart from hearing the Word of God. It's impossible. It's impossible to be saved apart from hearing the Word of God. Because the Word of God gives us faith to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if it's our obligation, it's our responsibility, it's our privilege as God's children to present his Word to a lost and a dying world that we come in contact with, that the Word of God, made by the Spirit of God, draw that person to Christ and help them to see their need to be saved before it's too late. I'm glad we have, listen, we have the vessel. We have the instrument. We have what we need, folks. And if we're just the vessel that God can use, why, we can see the Word of God working in the hearts and lives of people and even being saved and knowing Christ as their personal Savior. So I'm glad today to know this, that we talked about last week also, down in verse number 6, Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Bible says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. Without faith, we cannot please God. It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We talked about last week how there are three levels of faith mentioned in this verse. First of all, faith says, I believe God is. I believe God is. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to believe. It's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's the first level of faith. Faith believes that God is. Faith also believes that God can. And faith believes that God will. Now today we're going to talk about faith. I believe God will. God can. God can today. Faith says, I believe that God can. We're going to talk about that today and trust God to maybe encourage us and realize that our faith, no matter how small it may be, is still important. And we need to use it. We need to exercise it. Because the more we exercise our faith, the more our faith grows. And therefore, we can believe God for many things in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be together in your house. We thank you for everyone that's here. God, I pray, Lord, as we come together today, Lord, and look at this subject of faith again. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. I pray he would impart to us truths that maybe we have heard in the past, yet, God, we just need to hear renewed again, Lord, to encourage us in our walk with you every day. God, be with those today that are out because of sickness, because of traveling, wherever they may be, God, I pray you protect them. Lord, bless your people that have come today. We thank you for each one that's in this class now. God, I pray your blessing upon this time we have together. May the word of God be for each one of us, Lord, what we need today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're glad to be here today. Glad to have you. Take your Bibles as we look today on this thought. Faith says, I believe God can. Say it. I believe God can. Now, that's what faith says. Turn to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9 today as we look at this. How God, faith says, I believe God can. Not only God is powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He created the world and all that's in it. The earth belongs to him and all the inhabitants thereof belong to God. But I believe also that God can. God can. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, that is Jesus, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Now we find here that Jesus is viewing his disciples and scribes as they're gathered together and they're talking. And they're asking the questions to the disciples. And we find here that Jesus walks in, comes in, so to speak, upon them. And as they come upon the scene, we find that everybody stopped and were amazed and glad to see Jesus there. They saluted him. Brother Sam, that's pretty good, isn't it? Saluted him. Because he was there. Everybody, you know, knew Jesus, and they were great to have him in their midst. And what a joy it is to know that Jesus meets with us, isn't it? God meets with us when we come together as his children. Now, here is a situation that is very, very interesting. Again, we're talking about, I believe God can. I believe God can. Now, look at verse number 15. Verse number 16. And he asked the scribes, what question ye them? In other words, Jesus is confronting the scribes, and they're asking the disciples questions. A question. Now, notice what's happening here. Here they are. The scribes had no answer. The disciples had no answers. Notice what happened in verse number 17. We find here in this situation a father of a child. A child that has a dumb spirit. Now this is a sad father. A sad father. We find later on that this child has had this as a child, from a child. And you as parents, you know, you have a child and there's something physically wrong with that child, or mentally wrong with that child, it saddens you, it hurts you. I mean, you're concerned about your child. And anybody would be when their child is hurting. And we find here the situation now. The scribes and the Pharisees, or the scribes and disciples together, and they're questioning things about to one another. And the disciples don't have the answer. This boy is on the scene. Okay? He's there. They're looking at him. They're seeing what happens to him. They don't understand why this boy is the way he is. Now, all of us have seen or been familiar with children that have been born with physical difficulties and we don't understand why. And I'm saying to you, only God in heaven knows why. But it's to bring honor to him. I believe that, whatever it is. But here's the situation now. They're all together. Jesus walks in on the scene. And look at verse number 17. This is the father speaking out of the son. Verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away, And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They could not. In other words, Master, I have a child that's sick. He has a dumb spirit. I brought him to the disciples to heal him. But they can't do it. They can't do it. Here he is. Here's my son. And we find here the father of a child. He opens up this case now. He's opening up this case here, situation. He's talking about his child who is possessed with a dumb spirit. He's mute. He can't talk. We find he has fits. Anybody ever seen a child have a fit? You had children, you probably have. But nevertheless, this fit is very unusual. This fit is very unusual here, we find. It tires him. It throws him into violence. He gets very violent. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes at his teeth. He just acts very, very unnormal because of the dumb spirit that has possessed him. Possessed him. Now, this father is very concerned about his son. He's saddened that his son is this way. And we find here that he's confronted the disciples, and they can't help him. They can't do nothing about this son. But remember, our theme is, I believe God can. I believe God can. Now notice, we also see here in verse number 19. After the father said to Jesus, the disciples, they can't do nothing for him. Verse number 19, notice. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation. Jesus is responding to the question, and he's responding about the disciples. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now, what is he saying here? Jesus is rebuking the disciples. He's rebuking. He says, O faithless generation. Where is your faith, disciples? Where is your faith? You don't have faith enough to be able to help this man and his son. O faithless generation, he calls them that. And I believe that Jesus was to reply to us today, he would say the same to us. O faithless generations that we have today. Jesus speaks as one that is weary, one of being with them and of bearing with them. In other words, why could you not do what you've been asked to do? He's weary with his disciples, really. He's saddened with them, about them, because they could not help this man's son. He's saddened. You know, there used to be a song that people sung. I don't know the title of it. Somebody is my Jesus satisfied with me. Those are some of the words in it. And that's an awesome question for me to try to answer myself. I wonder, is Jesus satisfied with me? Here's a situation that he was saddened about the disciples and what they were doing, what they were not doing. He was weary even with them. But I wonder today if Jesus is satisfied with me. I wonder if he's satisfied with you in your life as a Christian today as we confront this situation here. Now notice what happens here in verse number 20. After Jesus says to disciples, your faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Bring the child unto me, Jesus says. Now look at verse number 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him. And he fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. Jesus saw firsthand what was wrong with his son, even though he already knew. But here's another eyewitness to everybody that was there. His son, as he fell down, wallowing, gnashing. He was very, very unusual. And we find here, when he saw Jesus, he fell into a fit. He fell into a fit here. The problem was with this young man for a long time. Look at verse number 21. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, I'm a child. He's been this way ever since a child. He's had these fits ever since he's been a child. And so we see here the problem was that long. Now, this made the problem, the case, more sad because he's been this way a long time, okay? This also made it more harder to be healed because of the longitude of the situation that he's had. So we find here the condition of the child when he was actually brought to Jesus. He was in bad shape. He was in bad shape. Now, I want you to notice next of all, we see the father was sad. We see also the condition of the son was sad to look upon. And Jesus saw firsthand again what the child had, the situation with the child, and how he was had fits, and he was all kinds of ways. But notice in verse number 22, and oftentimes he has cast him, this is the father speaking, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire, and into the waters, to destroy him. You know, I can't imagine that, can y'all? A child being so possessed by a demon, literally is what it was, by a demon, that he would cast him into the water, he would cast him into the fire. I mean, complete control over this boy, this young boy. That's got to be an awful thing for a father to go through, to see his child in that situation, you know. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible says, and I'll believe it. And oftentimes they had cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him, try to destroy him. But ill thou what? Canest do anything? Now notice, the father, he says, if, he's speaking to who? Jesus. If thou canest do anything. Now why did he say to Jesus, of all persons, if thou canest do anything? The father speaking to Jesus about his son now. He says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's a cry out, is it not? This father really, he needs help for his son. He's been with the disciples, conversed with them. They could not help him. And now here Jesus comes in on the scene. And he says to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, does he realize who he's talking to? Does he realize he's talking to God in the flesh? Why does he say, if thou canst do anything, to Jesus? Why would he say that to Jesus? Many reasons why, probably. I think probably because the followers of Jesus Christ didn't have the power to do it. So maybe he was questioning, even if Jesus had the power to do it. You know? If the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't do what they're supposed to do, can Jesus really do what he's supposed to do, what he could do? Can he? He's questioning him here. He says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. A broken and a contrite heart will move the heart of Jesus. You know that? It really will. And this is exactly what we see happens here. This man's broken. He's to the point. He's to the point of desperation. He wants his son to get some relief. He wants to get some relief himself from his son's physical conditions that he is in. And he says to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Have compassion on us and help us. You know, that reminds me of myself as a lost sinner. Being convicted by the Spirit of God that I was lost and undone. How I needed help. I needed help. And when I get up to the altar, and I knelt on my knees, and I cried out to Jesus to forgive me my sins and save me, he had compassion on me, and he helped me. He helped me. I'm so glad that Jesus never changes. He never changes. From this day to today until he comes back, he's always, his arms are wide open to spread compassion on us and to help us, no matter what our needs are. I'm glad for that. I really am glad for that. But this man, he says, if thou canst do anything. Jesus, if you can do anything to help us, have compassion on us. Would you do it? Notice the response of the Savior. In verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou what? Canest what? believe. If thou canst believe. Now, our thought today is, I believe God can. Okay? Now, here's the response of Jesus to the Father, that sad heart. If thou canst believe. If you can believe. Now, how much faith do you think this father has at this time? Do you think he has a lot of faith? I don't think he has a lot of faith. I don't think he has much faith at all. But you know, the Bible says we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. That's small, folks. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. This father didn't have much faith right now. Because he says in verse number 22, if thou canst, I want some help. But verse number 23, Jesus says, if thou canst believe, what did he say? All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, the father of the child asked Christ to heal him. Verse 22. Now, Christ answered to his response in verse 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. All things are possible if thou canst believe. Now, there are no limits to God's ability to do things, folks. There's no limit to God's ability. God can do whatever he wants to do because he's God. He's almighty. He's almighty. But the limit is what? Belief. The limit is belief. He said to the man, if thou canst believe, that's the limit. When we don't believe, when we don't believe, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's that word twice in that verse. If we believe, all things are possible to him that does believe. This is what he's saying to the son. Now, first of all, Jesus checks his faith. He's seeing if his father has any faith at all. And most likely he has little faith. But we can find he does have some faith. But we find here, first of all, Jesus checks the weakness of his faith. And then the Father, we see the Father, what he does. Look at verse number 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, what? I believe. I believe. And then what did he say? Help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. I have faith, God. I have faith, Jesus. But I'm not sure I have enough. I'm not sure I have enough. That's what he's saying right here. So Jesus checks the weakness of the Father's faith. Now we find the Father puts it upon Christ's power. And then we find what happens here. A miracle takes place in this verse here. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Then we find here what happens. In verse number 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy my unbelief. I'm glad that we don't have to have complete faith and perfect faith to get what we need from God. We see this illustrated here. Because this father said, Lord, I don't have much faith, but help me to have more faith. That's literally what he's saying. Give me more faith. I need more faith in my life. Give me more faith. And we find here, this is exactly what takes place. He cries out, Lord, I believe. I do believe. I'm so glad that the cure shall not be prevented by the want of faith. Okay? In other words, because this man wanted more faith, did not prevent Jesus from healing his son. That's what I'm saying. Jesus healed his son regardless of his faith. The point is having faith. The Father says, I believe. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. Very, very important here that we see this. Notice he asked for grace to enable him to rely upon Christ. Rely upon God. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me, Lord, to believe in you. Help me to believe in you. I do believe, but help me to have more faith. Help out what is wanting in my faith with thy grace. Help out what's wanting in my grace with thy faith, with thy grace. We see here, the problem is not how little our faith is. That's not the problem. The problem we see here is that we do not use the faith that we have to meet our needs. If Jesus says, with faith the size of the grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. It don't take much faith to do anything with God. You know that? It don't take much faith. And the point is this. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't believe I have enough faith. I don't believe I have enough faith. Well, we need to use what faith we have. You know? And just trust God. Just trust God with the faith that he's given us. Don't God says, I promise to supply all your needs? He does. He does. And I believe God imparts to every one of us the measure of faith that we do need in times of crisis, situations that we have to deal with in our life. He gives us that faith. But we just got to exercise that faith. We've got to claim that faith. Say, God, I believe. I believe. Even maybe we might say like this guy does, Lord, help my unbelief. Help by my unbelief that I might believe more in you and trust you more in my life and the needs that I have in my life here. So we find here what took place. Now look at verse number 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, he rebuked the foul spirit, said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Now, first of all, we see the response of the dumb spirit. The child is cured. The charge is given to the unclean spirit here. God wants us to give him the opportunity to do for us what he only can do. You know that? God wants us to give him the opportunity. And I wonder sometimes how many times we fail to give him the opportunity to do for us what only he wants to do by not having faith in him, by not exercising the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here the response. The charge given to the unclean spirit, let him be brought out of the fit, so to speak. Let him come out of the sun. I want you to notice what happened here. In verse number 26, and the spirit cried. The spirit cried and rent him sore. Listen, folks, this is the last time it's going to happen. This is the last time this spirit has the opportunity to do anything to this child. And he's giving it all he has, the spirit is. He's outrageous. He's mad. He's upset now because he has been commanded to come out of his son, this child. So he's giving his last. Who does that remind you of? Satan himself. Today, what is he doing? He's trying to destroy. He's trying to hurt. He's trying to discourage God's children. Folks, we see how Satan works. How he works. And when Jesus commanded this dumb spirit to come out of this child, he was outrageous. He rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, as much that many said he is dead. In other words, the boy hit the ground. He was like a dead child now. Even by this spirit coming out of him. This wasn't the first time it's ever happened like this, I'm sure. But this spirit, this dumb spirit, knew this was the last time. And he was outrageous. And we find here the charge was given. the charge was given here. And notice, let's see, he's dead. But verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Notice, back up, let's see, where am I at? Okay, the last part of verse 25, the words of Jesus, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, come out of the child. Now notice the second part. And enter no more into him. And enter no more into him. You know, when Jesus Christ, when he heals somebody, you know what? He's healed. When he delivers somebody, they're delivered. This dumb spirit was commanded to come out and also not to never go back into this son no more. He's delivered. He's free. Praise God. When we're saved, we're free, aren't we? We're free from sin, from the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin. Jesus paid it all for you and I. What a wonderful Savior we have to know that he did that just for you and I. We see here, this is what happened to this spirit. How the unclean spirit took it, he was violent. He became outrageous. He cried too out and rent the child more, even till the child fell to the ground as a dead man. But Jesus, by his mercy, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. He arose. Boy, don't you know that was a glad day, the day of that son? Boy, he was rejoicing, wasn't he? Man, what a good day. What a glad day. Reminds me and reminds you the day Jesus saved us. What a glad day that was. What a day of rejoicing that was when God saved us. He saved us and forgave us of our sins. And Jesus lifted him up. He arose and recovered as all and was well. You know, I would like to know the response of the people there. Like in all situations, there was probably some glad shouting probably. But there was others probably still questioning, didn't know what was going on. But this is a wonderful story here to realize this man, his faith, the little faith he had, he asked Jesus to give him more faith and help him, and he did. Yes, I believe God can. That's the second level of faith. I believe God can. No matter what situation you're in right now in your life, child of God, first of all, you believe God is. You trusted him as your Savior. Now you believe God can. Okay? God can do for you what you need in your life. He can meet your every need. If he can meet the need of this son, this father here with this son with a dumb spirit, don't you think he can meet your needs? I think he can. He can meet my needs. I believe God not only is, but I believe that God can. God can. Dr. Harold Seiler has a message. Years ago, I've heard it. Can God? Can God? What a tremendous message that was. Believing that God can meet every need that you have in your life gives us an evidence, gives us an incentive, maybe I should say, to ask God to meet our needs. You know, it's just amazing. Has God ever surprised you and answered a prayer for you? Huh? I think most of us could say yes, he has. But you know, isn't it good when you pray sincerely from your heart about something that's on your heart and you see God answer that? What does that do for you? Doesn't it give you an incentive to ask God for something else next time? Doesn't it increase your faith? Does mine. When I see God can, it gives me an incentive to have more faith and to believe God. And believe God can do for you or for me what stands in need in our life. Folks, God's still in control. You know that? We may think the world's ruling. And they are primarily dominating the world today, society today. Look at all that's taking place with the Muslims. And I don't want to get into all that junk. But it's reality. It's where we are today. But I'm so thankful that God is still in control of a Christian's life. Our life is God's children. He will take care of us, no matter where, what happens in this world, because I'll be sooner or later, I believe it's going to be sooner than later, He's going to take us out of this world. He's going to take us where He is, and we won't have to be confronted with all the things that we're confronted with, the things that are bombarding us on every hand whenever we face life today. Yes, I believe God is. I believe God can. I believe God can. Lord willing, next week, we're going to talk about I believe God will. I believe God will. There's a time that God will do something for us, too. He will. He just steps in and does it. He just steps in and does it. And we have that faith and believe that He will. He will. I'm glad today that we serve a God who knows all about us, who's willing, ready, and able to help us at any time in our life. Folks, do we believe God can today? You know, we need revival, don't we? We need revival. But you know, and I know, that revival is going to have to begin with us as individuals. It's going to have to begin with us as individuals. When God stirs me, hopefully there's a spark that's going to stir you. You know? And we want to, God, with God's help, all of us are going to be moved to realize that God is able. God is able to help us. God is able to provide for us. And God is able to do anything that we can. He's able to do far above that we can ever imagine or think about. God can. God can, folks. I don't want you to forget that today. I believe God is. I believe God can. He can do what He needs to do for us in our life. And I trust today as we think about this and we conclude on this, that we'll never forget that. No matter how low we may get, may we always believe that God can. God can. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the Word of God that You've given to us. I thank You, Lord, for the examples You've given to help us, Lord, to understand You and to get a vision of You and who You are, God, and what You want to do. We thank You for the example we've seen today. And God, I pray today as we look at this and, Lord, our eyes maybe have been have imagined, Lord, the scene and the situation of this young child. God, the father there and how disturbed and how sad he was. But yet, God, we saw it. We saw, Lord, what a miracle You did in the life of the father and the life of the son. Lord, because they believed that You could. So, Father, I pray, Lord, today You would help our unbelief. Give us more faith. Lord, help us to realize, God, that you desire for us just to exercise the faith that we do have. We don't have to have a lot of faith. Lord, help us to have the ability and the desire to exercise the little faith that You've given us. Lord, to trust You for every need that we have in our life. Dear God, I pray now, Lord, as we go to the next service, I pray the Spirit of God will lead and guide and direct. I pray, God, You will bless the singing, the specials. Lord, I pray You bless our pastor. Lord, anoint him afresh and anew. Give him power to speak, thus saith the Lord. God, there's one in the midst that's lost. I pray they might be saved today. God, help us to believe that You can. In Jesus' name, amen.